You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday. I'm doing the thing with my voice. I didn't even mean to do that. It's the 10th of October. It's 2016. You're listening to episode 228. My name is Rob. Sitting with me is Jason. I'm done with that.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm done with that. Sometimes things just happen, you know? Sometimes they just happen, and I don't intentionally make those things happen, but they just kind of come out. That's what you call creativity, Jason. That's what they call inspiration. I know it's something you're not terribly familiar with.
Oh, I'm inspired all the time.
Yeah, inspired to go to bed.
I wish I was inspired to go to bed. Unfortunately, I'm never inspired to go to bed. I'm inspired to stay awake past when I should.
That's too bad. I really like going to bed.
I'm sure you do. I enjoy going to bed too. I just never do.
So if there's a skill that I have that is inherent within me, you know, like one thing that is just, man, I'm super good at this just by nature. I don't even have to practice. And that is going to bed at a reasonable time. I'm so good at going to bed at a reasonable time.
I wish I was good at that.
Yeah, it's great, man. Like even when I was a teenager and I was supposed to be staying up till all hours of the night and basically becoming nocturnal, didn't do that.
Wow. That's probably actually why you do so well now, because I did a lot of that. So.
Yeah. No, it's my X power. You know, my mutant ability is to go to bed at a reasonable time.
To be lame.
Yeah.
To be boring.
To not go out when I was in my 20s and party all night with my friends.
I wasn't even partying. I was just staying up all night playing games.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That's how boring I am. That's how boring I am. But I'm okay with it.
Well, that's good. Because yeah. It's too late to take it back now.
Yep. Yeah. Hi. What's new?
Oh, stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got that Kickstarter going.
Kickstarter is still going.
Yeah, still going.
Yeah, check that out. No idea where it's at now. It's been 2 weeks since we last talked. So
right.
But I'm sure it's doing amazing. So
yes.
Check that out.
Yep, I'm sure you're well over $50,000 now.
That'd be great.
Yeah, you might even be approaching it on 100. I mean, we'll see.
You know, that happens a lot with an $18 game.
Still no sign of scorpions in the box, though. A little bummed about that.
Right.
But, you know, hey, it's not over. It's not over. It could still happen. We still might get scorpions in the box.
I would hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope it happens.
Just one scorpion on one card would be so great.
Great.
In the rule book.
Sure.
Do you want to talk at all about the name challenge, the thing?
Yeah. I don't know if that's decided yet or not.
So maybe I should cut that.
It's probably not. There's a name challenge.
Okay.
To name the city that the game takes place in. Go check that out. See if that's out there. If it is, do it. There's like a Google form that's linked in the comments. You just go to that and bazinga, mm-hmm. You can do it. It's great.
Yeah. So the challenge is backers come up with a name, what to name the city that you're building in this game. And the winning name will be in the rules with credit for whoever wins it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do that. That's a fun little thing. Fun little bonus thing to do for people.
I think so.
Uh-huh. Let's see. What else?
I played some games recently.
What'd you play?
I played Patchwork 3 times. Once with Alan, which he taught me how to play.
Uh-huh.
And then I played it with my mom, and then I played it with my wife. And they both very much liked it. I like it a lot, too. Patchwork is you're trying to make a quilt. That's all you're trying to do. I mean, here's what you're doing. You're playing Tetris.
Ah.
You're playing the board game version of Tetris.
Okay.
And that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really gratifying. It uses the time tracker for your turn order, and it uses it really well.
Okay.
There is always something good to do in that game, I feel like, and I like it very much. And
using the time tracker, define that for me.
So when you take your turn, it costs you X amount of time and or X amount of buttons, which is the money. Usually it costs you some of both.
Okay.
And as time happens, you move down the time track, which is, you know, that's how you keep track of how far you're on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then your opponent can take do as many actions to cost as much time as it takes to get one beyond you. This is used by Takedo, I think, also used by Rocky Road a la Mode.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know which one's more famous for it. Clearly, it's Rocky Road a la Mode.
Mm-hmm.
So,
does it better than Takedo, too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right?
Yeah, okay.
That's the thing with the thing and the thing.
Sure.
But it's really good because everybody gets an equal amount of turns. There's no first player advantage because, sure, they get to pick first, but they get the same one in three choices, the three choices you're going to get every turn, which is to look at different things, look at different quill pieces and pick one and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing, though, about that game is that it takes up so much space on the table. Because there's like 40 quilt pieces or something, and you have to set them in a huge circle so that you always know the order that they're in. Now, about four turns in, it starts to shrink down pretty considerably.
Yeah.
But at first, it's enormous.
Mm.
So, okay, like, we played it at a coffee shop, and we needed one table for our little tableaus we were building the quilts on, and one table for the pieces.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And it's two-player only, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And that gives me hope for ideas I have, like Sandbox Showdown, because have you seen the box for it? It's like
like for Patchwork,
9 inches by 9, maybe, sure, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like a game like Sandbox Showdown would fit right in that box,
yeah,
and that makes me happy, mm-hmm, because I always thought, oh, it's got to be a huge game, and I'm like, oh gosh, no, this little mid-range box works really well. It's like a $25 price point,
mm-hmm,
so for a two-player game, that's become acceptable. And
sure,
I like that.
Sure, yeah, it's good.
I mean, Onitama, we talked about last week, that's a $30.
It's 30 bucks, yeah.
$30 two-player game,
yep.
But with the figurines, that's, you know, that drives the price.
Yeah, those
up.
Are nice miniatures in there, nice pawns and, mm-hmm, and king in there, and it also has the neoprene kind of mouse pad material for the game board, which is nice.
I wish more games did that. I really like those.
I like it too. It's just storage is tough,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Storage is tough. Do you roll that thing? Well, you have to roll that thing up. You can't fold it, and then you need to make sure the
not
box,
more than once,
right? And then you got to make sure then the box can accommodate it,
right?
And it's not gonna, and then, you know, the longer it's rolled up, the more it keeps that shape. And
true. That's a fair point.
Anyway.
The other game I played recently was... Nope. It was Splendor. We already talked about that. So I felt like we played a third game. Played Splendor. We played Patchwork.
I don't know.
No, maybe we just played those two. I don't know. We were going to play Onitama, but we didn't get a chance to. Oh, we were going to play Zombie Dice. My wife loves that game, but we're at this coffee shop, and there are these people studying for this, like, medical test or something next to us, and we saw
loud,
like,
dice rolling.
Zombie Dice would have been kind of a dick move.
Yeah, kind of obnoxious.
So I decided not to do that.
That's you're very kind of you.
Right.
I did play a game the other night.
Ooh, what was that?
We were out drinking with some friends, and we played Shut the Box. Have you played Shut the Box?
Yeah. We rolled the dice, tried Shut the Box.
Yeah, I really like Shut the Box.
It's a good classic.
It's a good classic bar game, right?
Yeah.
And when you're playing, you're supposed to bet while you're playing. We didn't play,
right,
but it's just fun. You're drinking beers and you're passing it around. For anybody who doesn't know, Shut the Box, there's basically a box, and you have 2d6. And in the box, there are 9 tiles that are numbered 1 through 9. Okay. And what you do is you roll the 2 dice in the box, and let's say you get a 7, mm-hmm, on your dice, right? And then you have to flip down one or more tiles that equal the total of 7.
Right.
So you could flip down the number 7, or you could flip down the 4 and the 3, or you could flip down the 4 and the 2 and the 1 if you want,
right,
or whatever. Some combination adds up to 7. And then you roll a dice again, and you keep going. And your goal is to get all the tiles flipped down, and when you do that, you close the box, and that's how you would, like, win the pot, basically, that everybody's bet,
right,
on. One of the tricks then is that at some point you might get it down to a point where the total value of all the tiles that are still face up equals 6 or less. At that point, you can roll 1 die instead of 2.
Yep.
Okay, and that's important. You don't have to, but you can.
But you probably should.
And then at some point, though, you're more likely to not shut the box. You're more likely, at some point, you'll roll the dice and you won't be able to flip down any tiles. You won't be able to make a combination that equals that.
And then you pass it, right?
And then you pass it, and then your turn's over.
What makes it so you have to flip all the tiles back, or do you not have to do that?
You don't have to do that. Okay. That's just when it moves on to the next player.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, right.
You flip ones back when it moves to the next player? Or after you shut the box, then you open them all
back up? No, you flip them back. If you bust, basically, you roll the dice and you can't flip any tiles down, then you bust and your turn's over.
Oh, it starts over for the next player.
And then you put all the tiles face up again, number side up, and then you pass the box. That's the basic idea. And it's just a kind of a fun, silly, little, simple bar game. And I've always really liked it a lot. I like it for that simplicity. You know, it's maybe not an ancient game, but it's an old game. It's one of those classic English pub games.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it starts around, everybody throws down $5. Oh, and then the other thing is when you bust, any tiles that are number side up are your score, right? And if you have a 1, a 2, and a 3, your score is not 6, your score is 123. That's how the scoring works on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you want so what matters is that you have more tiles face down, not necessarily what the value is on the face of that tile. So flipping a 9 down might not necessarily be as valuable. It is not as good as flipping down, you know, a 1, a 2, and a 6 to equal 9.
Right.
You would be better off flipping the 1, 2, and 6.
So
than
you
want to
have the lowest score possible when the box is shut?
Right. Right. Because by putting the 1, 2, and 6 down, you're having more tiles down. But with the 1, you only have one tile down.
So I can close the box and still lose?
No. Well, so the way you bet, right? Start of a round, everybody puts $1 in the pot, okay?
Okay.
And then you go around the table, and if no one shuts the box, then whoever has the lowest score wins the pot.
Oh, okay. Right.
But if someone in that round, if someone shuts the box, they get the pot immediately and everyone else has to throw in an extra $1 to double it. That would be the idea.
That makes sense.
And then you start a new round with the next player and everybody throws in the pot again. That's,
I want to kind of play this game for money. That sounds like fun.
It's fun just to play when you're drinking beers and hanging around a table and chatting. It's great. Yeah, I really like it.
I still want to play it for money. It sounds like fun.
I'm not really a gambler, but I wouldn't.
Neither
be
am I,
to it.
But it just sounds like fun.
Maybe for pennies, maybe for quarters or something. Yeah.
That works.
yeah, so it's a fun game.
Cool.
That's what I played. Yeah. There you go.
All right. Oh, man, Sprout Corner Podcast, thrilling. Adrenaline pumping.
It's late for you. Even though you're not good at going to sleep.
Even though I won't go to bed for 4 more hours.
Yeah, you're still falling asleep right here at the table. It's good.
That's what happens. And about 10 o'clock when I should go to bed, I'm like, oh, who's awake? I want to talk about a game I played lately.
Okay.
It's called Reigns. It's like Reigns, not like the Reigns in Spain.
Is it an iPhone game?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Reign of a King.
Yeah.
I've been playing this too.
Oh, you have? Okay, great. And let's talk about this game because this game is a really good game.
It's kind of pissing me off, honestly.
Why?
Because I can't get anywhere.
Oh, what's the longest reign you've had?
28 years.
Oh, mine's 20. I've been playing it for a day, but
okay.
I feel okay with that. So 20 I felt like was pretty solid.
20 is pretty good, yeah. My closest I've gotten since that 28, and I got that 28 pretty early on, actually. The closest I've gotten, I think, is 26 to that again.
I mean, I've had some bad ones, like they were like 3 years.
Yeah, explain what the game is. Though.
So the idea of the game is, all right, you are a king. In fact, you are going to be several kings, right? In the beginning, you're like cursed.
You could be many, many kings.
Yeah. In the beginning of the game, you're cursed to live out all these lifetimes and have the memories of the previous kings. So the idea is you're going to be consistently in the game presented with a card that will have a question on it. Sir, should we do X or Y?
Yeah.
And by swiping right or left through the card, it's X or Y, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's yes or no. But a lot of times it's also other things.
Sometimes
right?
you don't know what you're choosing.
Right. Sometimes it's like, what, ... And the other way is, huh, ... And you really don't know. But you have 4 stats, right? And the 4 stats are religion.
The people. The support of your people.
The army and your money, right?
Yep.
So those are the things. And they all start about in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is to balance them. Now, when Laura, our friend, explained this to me.
And keep them balanced as long as possible.
Right. So what Laura said to me was, if you run out of one of them, you lose. And then I lost by filling up the army so much that they took over. Because if you get them to the top, you also lose.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, I bet if I get it to the top, I'll get like an achievement or something. Nope, they just murdered me.
Right.
So and the idea is you're searching for achievements, which are meeting certain people, which adds more cards to the game. And then also achievements of if you do something, you get a title, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be like I was... William the Old was my good one where I lasted a long time, right? Or something the sorcerer or but if you just stink, your name is just you're just Gerald, right? Like if I'm King Gerald, I'm just Gerald the nothing. Nobody cares, right? So and it tracks your reigns and you can actually scroll back through and see it. And it's very gratifying.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, there's also achievements that you're trying to get for
you're trying to like hit certain story goals.
Right.
At the start of a new reign, it'll give you three targets, and it'll say you want to accomplish at least one of these things in this reign.
To get a title.
Yeah. Typically to get a title. Not always, but to get a title or to kind of advance the narrative of this kingdom that you live in, right? And that also then gives you more encounters that you can experience on later reigns, later lifetimes.
Yes. But it's a lot of fun,
it's neat.
So what bothers you about the game?
Well, so I've had the same three challenges for like 700 years now.
Oh.
Yeah, and like I can pull it up right now and I can show you. I can read to you what my challenges are here. Let's see.
Because I clear out challenges about every...
Early in the game. If you've only been playing it for a day, then...
So I think I'm on my 10th king.
I'm on year 1176.
Oh, yeah. I'm
on the 42nd king.
Okay, I'm on 700 and something.
And for like 700 years now, I've been I'm probably exaggerating, probably more like 500 years. Let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to arrange a bestial honeymoon. I don't know what that means. Find the frozen blood. I don't know what that means. Write a war song. Okay, so there.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. There's a bard dude that comes to visit me now and then, mm-hmm. Fairly often, and. And he comes to me and he says, hey, I want to write you a song. And my choices are either, yeah, okay, or no, don't do that. And so I know I want to write a war song, right?
Right.
And so I say, yeah, okay, what do you want to write about? So I say, yeah, okay, what do you want to write about? And he says, I would like to write a song about this. And I say, either yes or no.
Or something else.
Something else, yeah. Right? And I say something else. And he never says, I want to write about a war. And it never gives me the option to tell him what to write about.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm getting frustrated with that. And I don't know, maybe I'm doing something wrong or maybe I should be picking a different choice. And I don't know, but
it's
just
weird.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. And frozen blood, a bestial, I don't know what that means.
And some of them are easy. It's like, meet the witch. And it's like, sir, we found a witch. Should we burn her? And I'm like, no, bring her to me. Oh, you met the witch.
Yeah.
The weirdest one was meet the devil. Have you had that one?
Oh, yeah.
And like, so there's this dog that keeps showing up. And I keep being like, leave me alone. And then finally it's like, kick the dog or pet the dog. And I pet the dog and it's like, oh, he's the devil. And I'm like, mm-hmm. What? So spoiler, sorry, yeah. That's a spoiler.
It's a neat idea. It's like a RPG distilled down to its most base thing.
Yeah.
And you can choose to start a crusade at some point. And when you do that, it will affect your stats and there are several things you can do that affect your stats and affect the raising and lowering of those stats. And some things it'll say it will automatically raise or lower this thing every time you take a turn. But other things will say it'll raise and lower this thing every second.
Oh, so you have to go fast.
Right. So when you're in a crusade, your money is constantly your money is constantly going up and your population is constantly going down. And so you have to act really fast. And so I'm constantly trying to do things that will spend money, but also add to my population.
So maybe don't start a crusade. Good note to me.
But sometimes I don't even realize that I'm about to do that, you know?
Right.
Because some of those choices you're making are so ambiguous, it's hard to know all the time what you're about to do. Good luck ending a crusade. That's hard.
There was one where I got a person who... I asked her to do something. She's like, great. The next person you say yes to will die.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh... crap. So then I'm like making bad. I'm like, oh, I like that guy. Oh, I like that guy. And finally I'm like, yes, dead. And I've never seen him again.
I killed my queen.
That's funny.
Yeah.
One of the things I have to do is produce an heir, but I can't get it to let me marry someone. So
yeah, you'll get there. I don't know. I mean, whatever. It's neat. It's a fun little idle thing to play for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes at a time while I'm waiting for something.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But
it's like $3 on the
$2.99. So
on the iPhone app store.
Speaking of which, is that Mario game out yet?
No, it's November.
Why is it so long? Why are they announcing it like 12 months in advance?
Because
stupid.
Because marketing.
Steve Jobs
is dead, dude.
Doesn't matter.
Steve Jobs never would have let that happen. Are you kidding me?
What, you don't think he would have been okay with Mario?
He would have been okay, but he would not have been okay with, hey, guess what? You can download a thing right now that will automatically download the game when it's ready in 3 months.
I feel like you're probably right about that.
Yeah, he also would not have gotten rid of the headphone jack. He would not have been okay with the camera lens that protrudes from the back of the phone.
Yeah, but see, these are all stupid, pretentious things that I'm glad we don't have Steve Jobs.
I'm not saying he was right.
Glad he's dead, but I'm glad that we're not doing those dumb things.
Yeah, I'm not glad he's dead, and I'm not saying he was right. I'm just observing his
Right.
Yeah.
Because the thing they talked about, like, with the headphone jack, I ordered a new iPhone. Some people were like, oh, you can. I was like, yeah, dude, why would I don't have it yet, but I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Because getting rid of the headphone jack solved a lot of problems. One, it made the phone thinner because, gosh, that phone better be thinner.
It wasn't. It's not any thinner, though.
Oh, is it the same thickness?
Yeah, same thickness.
Okay, well, but it allowed for a slightly bigger battery, and doing that and getting rid of the home button, now the phone is waterproof.
Yeah, whatever. I honestly could not care less about that.
Waterproof?
It's never been a problem for me. I've never dropped in water.
Me either, but now I'm glad that I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to just play within the bathtub now. I don't take baths. I'm kidding.
I mean, I will get the new one at some point because that's a thing that people do. I'm not ready to go back to Android because I'm not ready to constantly fight with my phone. Well, okay. I feel like I already fight with my phone on a regular basis as it is. You know, I don't want to have to fight with it more than I already do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think my phone's easy to use, so I can't wait to get the new one with the two lenses. Let's zoom on stuff.
It's the iPad mini phone.
Why would I not? It's amazing.
Because you like having giant things in your pocket.
I do. There's already so many of them, I just have to add more.
There it is. You got more?
No, the little ahead.
All right, okay.
So, all right, let's talk about something. We're going to talk about another mechanic this week, because that went so well last time.
Yeah.
So, and I think we're going to follow the same format we did last time. So if you didn't like that, deal with it. I want to talk about pressure luck dice games. And I want to do that because, first of all, when I say pressure luck, what do you think?
I don't understand the question.
Like, what type of game do you expect it to be when I say pressure luck?
I don't know. I don't play a lot of pressure luck games. Oh.
The first thing that always comes to my mind is a dice game, right?
Okay.
Because games like Zombie Dice have made it so, like, that dice rolling mechanic of roll until you bust,
right?
Is really...
Well, frankly, on that subject, Shut the Box is a pressure luck dice game.
No. I disagree.
Well, you keep rolling dice until you bust.
Yeah. But there's no chance to stop to save something.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference.
All right.
So
fair point. Good.
Yeah. So, because the idea is pressure luck is I'm trying to maximize my reward before losing everything.
Right. Okay.
So zombie dice is very, very, everybody's played zombie dice or understands how it works. You know, you're trying to collect brains while trying not to get shotgun blasts. Once you get three of something, you're out, right? And that's kind of the format they follow. Dragon Slayer, I think, is a much better game than zombie dice. And that one is, there are three separate dragons, and then you have three standard dice you use as well. And the dragons are easy, medium, and hard. They're worth more points as they go up, but they also have more chances to breathe fire on you when you roll them. And when I roll the dice, I'm trying to get a head, wings, and a tail, because there's a tail dice, a wings dice, and head dice. But they also have flames on them, and they also have little mountains, which are, I'm still searching for the dragon. So you roll till you get that, and then you have to get an axe to take them out. And you can also get shields to block fire. So if you get fire, you can stop it with the shields. So that's how you play the game. What I was interested in, and I kind of want to talk about today, is first of all, I love those mechanics. I love press your luck. It's because the control is all on you, right? It's certainly not a perfect information game, but it really shows a lot about people's personalities, right? Like, will they go for it? Will they not? Like, I tend to play the games like that, I make rules in my head ahead of time, which probably sounds stupid, but it's like, I know that in Zombie Dice, if I make less than X points when I'm playing, I will keep rolling no matter what. And after a certain point, I will stop no matter what. And those hard rules are what make you do well in those games, theoretically, unless you really get dice screwed. Those hard rules really help, right? But I was thinking, gosh, I would love to see a game that uses that press your luck mechanic, but to do something bigger, to do something more, right? So it's not just like, what if it was a resource building game, right? Like, so where you were, maybe it's a game, maybe it's a survival game, right? And you are on a beach with nothing, but you have these dice, right? That allow you to do different things, right? Get, I don't know what they allow you to do, but there's three things on the dice, right? And then there's different areas of the island you're stuck on that you can explore, right? So those are your different dice sitting out there. And I can pick up one of those dice. I can pick up, I can say I'm going to go to the swampy area in the island, right? I don't know why there's a swamp. That's stupid. I'm going to go to the lagoon, right? I'm going to go to the lagoon and try and fish, right? So when I go to the lagoon, I pick up those. And there's fish, but there's like shark fins as well, right? Because I could get attacked by a shark. So
my head is like a shark's fin.
What?
It's a reference to an LL Cool J song.
Does he actually say that in a song?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
It's the song he wrote for Deep Blue Sea, the movie about the giant thinking sharks.
Deepest, he wrote a song for Deep Blue Sea? I didn't know that.
Deepest, bluest, my head is like a shark's fin. It's a great song.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's garbage.
Is it right up there with Men in Black by Will Smith?
It's way worse.
Oh, is it worse than Wild Wild West?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
It plays over, now you need to watch Deep Blue Sea tonight, because it played over the credits at the end.
Wow, that's great.
Deepest, bluest, my head is like a shark's fin. Anyway, go on.
I just keep picturing LL Cool J now with this like gray shirt.
Because he's in that movie.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. Otherwise, why would you do that? That movie, though, seems like the perfect movie to have that.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of it.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It's like the Ninja Turtles movie that had Vanilla Ice in it, right? It just makes sense.
Right. I love that movie.
Go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go.
Yeah. Sorry, I derailed.
Anyways, so let's say I am, let's say that I'm, got the survival thing, right? So,
Jason is having one of his trademark moments of inspiration, then it's gone.
No, this just makes it a dice building game, so that's probably a bad idea, but I was going to suggest that, this is good, right? So, let's say that there are X number of resources you can have, right? I like this a lot, right?
Okay, here we go.
So, there are five dice. There are five dice, the survival dice you get to use, right? But whenever you go somewhere, you can only ever take three of them with you. Right?
Mm.
Yeah, that's good, huh?
Oh,
that's super smart.
Mm.
So, yeah. So you take those survival dice, you go to the lagoon, right? And then you take the lagoon dice, there's say three of those. In different areas might have different, maybe it's always three, that's probably just easy, right? I roll the dice, la-ling, and then I press my luck to try and gather resources in that area, right? And if I lose those resources, but if I win, there are tangible resources that I get to take from the pot, right?
Okay.
And put into building stuff, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think of that? That sounds fun.
It's a start.
So I'm just trying to think of I'm not even trying to pitch a game here. I'm just trying to think of different ways to use pressure luck dice in a more meaningful way, where it's not just one and done, right? Where it's not just, I have 14 brains on the dice, but I decide to go for 15 and then I lose everything.
Uh-huh.
Instead, it's, hey, I lost that, but I do still have X. And maybe I get, maybe I'm buying cards with my resources, right? That's a shack. And that means something like, maybe I get a net, right? And the net says, if you are gathering and you lose, you get to keep one resource that you gathered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the net is, you put it in there, or a backpack or something like that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, that actually sounds like the type of survival game I'd love to design.
Okay.
I probably won't, let's be honest, but...
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So why are press your luck dice games fun?
They're fun because it's gambling, right? Gambling is fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
That thrill of like,
it's exciting.
Ooh, try one more.
Right.
They build themselves zombie dice as a one more roll, just a one more roll game, right? Just one more roll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just one more, right? But it never is just one more, because then you're like, oh, one more after that. Oh, just one more. Oh, I lost everything. Oh, yeah. I'm a failure.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yep.
So that's why it's fun. Human nature is why it's fun.
Right. And
grass
you're
is always
in control,
greener.
Right?
Yeah.
And it gives you those great aha moments and those great aha moments.
Yeah.
Which can be aha moments for the other players because they're excited when you have, you know, 10 brains and you bust.
Yeah.
Because it sucks to be you and it doesn't suck to be them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Man, you know what would be cool if I didn't design games that were really hard to make and expensive to make? Because that game just has a bunch of custom dice.
Yeah. Sure does.
It could be that you go to an area. Oh, you know what? Actually, to make it even different, it could be when you go to an area, like you go to the lagoon, I take three cards off. Like I basically bet in the beginning, how many cards can I claim in the lagoon deck? Right. And then I say five, and five cards come out. And before I bust, I have to achieve those five goals. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So otherwise, I don't get any of them. Mm-hmm. So going into it, I can say, I'm just going to take one card and hope that it's fish. Mm-hmm. But if I get it, it's a shark. Oh, bummer.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you don't even maybe need bad cards. Maybe you just need different cards with different things. And then if I achieve it, that's my resource that I keep. Yeah. Her. That's not bird.
Okay.
It's not bad at all. Now I'm trying to think of old games I worked on that I could just steal the theme from. The first thing that came in my head was out come the wolves. Could be a good, because you're building up the wolves that are coming. So, I'll think about that.
Okay.
So, yeah, we didn't talk a lot about like why you should play pressure lock games or what makes
you just
kind
of turned it into a pitch.
That's all right. Sometimes that happens. We've done that before. Yeah. People can deal with it.
Yeah.
But hey, you tell us what makes pressure lock games so good. Tell us why they're so great. And, you know.
We're talking to the builders here,
right.
Not to
builders.
Me.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Right. You know what? This is what I would say. I mean, how cool can pressure lock games be if Matt Riddle's never designed one, you know? I mean, Matt Riddle, greatest designer ever.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I tried.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt.
Okay.
Your head is shiny.
Your head is like a shark's fin?
Matt Riddle, your head is like a shark's fin.
Yeah.
Listen, builders. If you could say that to Matt Riddle next time you see him,
yeah,
I would appreciate that.
Matthew Riddle, your head is like a shark's fin.
Yes. So say that to Matt Riddle next time you see him. And record yourself saying it to him on video.
On video? Oh man.
Yes.
Video.
We have phones that record the video.
I don't.
And then send it to us.
I don't.
Because
yeah.
I want to see it.
Hey, if somebody wants to do that, but I would be it'd be funny.
It would be funny.
Yeah, but I don't expect anybody to actually do that.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be funny though.
Or maybe just everybody just start saying that to him, but don't tell him why. Because he doesn't listen to the show, so he'll never know.
He'll never know.
Pinchback, don't tell him. You just tell him. You just say, Ben, I want you to just say, Matt, your head's like a shark's fin. And he'll be like, what? And he'll be like, that's what I heard. I heard it on the street. That's all you got to say, Ben. Uh-huh. Don't screw this up, Pinchback. It's not that complicated.
I heard it on the street.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's good. And first Riddle will be like, what did somebody at work say this? This is stupid. And then he'll hear it at a game convention.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll know.
Yeah.
What is happening.
I don't know why you have it out for him so much.
Because, you know, that I just don't like that guy.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
What's there to like? See?
He's got jolly. Nothing. He's jolly.
He's not.
He's a jolly guy.
He's not.
I like Matt.
He's mean.
He's a happy dude.
You know what there is to like about him?
What's that?
His head is like a shark's fin.
There it is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, let's move on.
Okay.
Hey, did you play in a game to pitch?
I do.
Is it a pressure luck dice game?
It is not. It is a dice game, but it's not a pressure luck dice game. But maybe it could be.
Well, we're going to end the game now. We're going to end the show now.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. If you
All right. Go ahead, loser. Pitch a non-pressure luck dice game for some reason.
Maybe it can become that, right?
No, false. I doubt it.
Yeah, actually, maybe it could. Okay. So, after playing Shut the Box, naturally, I had to say, gosh, can I use that mechanic in a game, right?
Of course you
I had to, right?
As soon as you were describing it, I was thinking the same thing. How could I use the Shut the Box?
Right.
It's a good mechanic.
Right. So, okay. So we start out with, this is probably a 3 to 6 player game, maybe 3 to 5. I don't know. Anyway. And we start out, and every player has, I don't know, we'll call it a color, some kind of a symbol or a color or something that represents them in the game, right? So I am spades, you're diamonds, etc. Okay, just whatever. And everybody has two cards that represent what they are. Maybe you have three. So you have one that you keep in front of you so everybody knows who you are. And the other two, they go into a pile and they get shuffled up.
Okay.
And then you turn them over one at a time, face up in a row. And that is your turn order.
I like that.
All right. So real easy. That's turn order, so it's not necessarily going to go next player around the table. It's gonna change. Okay. Okay. I don't really have... So, okay, I have the theme to apply to this game, but I can't make it connect mechanically. So that's something I'm going to want you to...
I'm really good at that.
Yeah, so I want to call this game To the Nines.
Okay.
Okay? And I want to call it that because there are nine tiles in Shut the Box. In this case, it would be nine cards that you flip back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay? And I want the game... You're trying to play until you have nine cards, nine column victory point cards in front of you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So To the Nines, like dressed to the nines, dressed up, you're looking good, feeling good, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing that maybe it's an abstract with that theme pasted on. I don't really know, but, that's what I have in my head right now. It might be terrible. We'll see. Okay. So you have your turn order there. So whoever's in the first order, you have nine cards face up that are numbered 1 through 9. All right. Mm-hmm. And you have 2d6, and on your turn, you roll the two dice, just like Shut the Box, and that result is what you get, and you can flip cards down that equal that total, and then your turn's over.
Okay.
Cards that you flip face down, though, you get money for those. So if you flip over number one, that's $10. Flip over the two, it's $20, and so on and so forth. Okay?
Okay.
Flip over the nine, it's $90.
Right.
Okay. All right. So you take your turn, and then it goes to the next player in the turn order.
Okay.
Okay. That player then has a decision. They can roll the dice again and flip over some more cards and get money for that, or they can choose to end the round. Okay. So whoever starts the round has to roll one time. They don't have a choice.
Okay.
Okay. But the next player around can choose to end the round.
So we're all working on the same tile set?
We're on the same tile set.
Okay. So it's different than Shut the Box.
It is, right.
Okay. That's why I wanted to be clear.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're not, I mean, so it could become a press your luck dice game if one player just plays until they want to stop or until they bust. But the way I have it structured right now, I don't have, it might be a better way to go. I don't know. But this is what I've got right now. Okay. So if the player chooses to end the round before they roll, the number of cards that are still face up, have not yet been flipped, that's how many cards they can draw from the draw deck. Okay. And these are cards that are going to be, some of them are going to be victory points. Some of them are going to be, other actions that you can take as you play. Okay. Player number two in the order, can roll again to get money, or they can just take to draw that number of cards to their hand. Okay. If it keeps going around, people want more gold, it's going to get to a point where somebody is going to bust. If somebody busts, then they don't get anything. But they are going to be first to go in the next round. They're going to start the next round.
Cool.
So guaranteed to get some money that first turn. Okay. Okay. So that ends a round. Either somebody chooses to end the round and takes those cards, or somebody busts and the round ends on its own.
Okay.
Okay.
And you bust, you still keep the money you earned.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you bust, you didn't get anything on that turn. You got nothing, but you get to go first. Unless maybe it got around to player one again.
Oh, because I roll once.
Yeah.
Flip down, take my money, next person. I get you. Okay.
Right. And it could be, because remember, we're not necessarily going around the table, going in the turn order. Mm-hmm. So it could be that it, based on the shuffle, somebody got their turn, got to go two times in a row.
Okay.
You know? Okay. All right. So that ends the round. All right, so everybody starts the game, I think, probably with three, maybe four cards in their hand from the main game deck. Okay, so in your hand, you then have to spend money to play cards. Okay, money that you've collected from flipping over tiles,
uh-huh.
You now have to spend money to do those things. And the more powerful that card is, the more money you have to spend to play it down there. All right, so like victory point cards are going to cost a lot of money. Say they're $100 each.
Okay.
You know, okay. Excuse me. But then there are other cards. There are going to be cards that allow you to change the turn order. So you put this card down, and it'll allow you to move one of your cards forward or back in the turn order if you want to. Okay? So you can kind of shuffle the positioning of things and who's going to go next and who's going to take a turn. You might be able to play another card that allows you to add or insert another one of your turn cards into the turn order. Maybe you could remove somebody else or move somebody else's. You probably wouldn't remove somebody else, not take them down to below two, but you might move someone else in the turn order. All right. Okay. I'm not sure what other kinds of actions right now you could take with that. Maybe a way to let you reroll or something, you know. You can put that card out there and you can discard it at some point to reroll a die after you roll your turn if you don't like the result.
Right.
Okay. Those kinds of things. And so you continue playing and then that's kind of the loop, right? So on that turn everybody can simultaneously spend money to play a card from their hand onto the table. And then you start the next round of rolling dice and flipping the cards over and getting money or getting cards. And then you basically play until somebody has nine victory point cards in front of them. That ends the round and that ends the game, but then whoever has the highest value of victory points total is the winner. And again, victory point cards are valued at 1 through 9. If there's a 9-point card, it probably costs you $200 to put it out there. But if it's a 1-point victory point card, it's probably going to cost you, say, $70 to put it out there. I don't know what the scale is on that.
Right.
But yeah.
So. Okay.
That's kind of the basic structure that I've got there.
Right.
I don't know how to attach that theme to it.
Well, my first thought was that instead of victory points or tied to victory points should be articles of clothing.
Well, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And you could do it Yahtzee style and say there are 9 pieces of clothing that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And then a hat, a trinket.
Well, so I worked on that, right? That was my first thought too, that I thought, okay, so 9 pieces of clothes that somebody could wear. Okay. I've got hat. I've got pants or a skirt,
right?
A shirt, a jacket, underwear, socks, shoes, an accessory of some kind,
right?
You know, like a jewelry or a watch.
But you can do 2 accessories. That'd be easy.
I guess you could do 2 accessories. Yeah. But does that limit it? So you can only play one of each of those? Is that too limiting? Is it more fun if you can just kind of be crazy and throw down whatever you want? How do you assign value to those? Well, maybe you don't.
So I would say assign a value of 1 through 9 to each one, right?
Okay.
And then, you can only have one of each. Except for accessories, you can have 2, right? So you assign a value to each one. And once you fill that spot, you get rid of the other. Like once you fill the spot, it is filled.
Mm-hmm.
And you can no longer... you can no longer do that, right? So,
so you think that there's 9 hats in the game, and numbered 1 through 9, it could be a lot of cards.
That is a lot of cards.
Maybe it's valued 1 through 4 or something.
Yeah. So, right. But then there's only 4 hats in the game, right?
Yeah. If there's 6 players, that wouldn't work.
So you'd have to have 6 of each thing in the game.
Yeah. Maybe you could spend money. So if somebody takes a card, ends up drawing a card, and it's an article of clothing that they already have in play,
uh-huh.
they have to put it to a face-up area where they can just be taken or something.
Or you could trade. Like, say, I got a hat. Who wants a hat?
Oh, yeah. That's good idea.
And they can see what you have in play, right? And know that it's not that, but that it could be higher or lower.
Sure.
Or as it gets, but you want a hat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you don't have to play it if you take it. But,
right.
But you want the hat if you don't have a hat because mm-hmm. you need it. So that actually could be cool if you had.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And maybe you don't actually have to have 9 slots, right? Because it's called To the Nines. Because
yeah, I just like having 9 there because I think that loop is short.
I meant for the clothes.
Oh.
You don't necessarily have to have 9 slots for the clothes.
9 different types of clothing, you mean?
Yeah, like you could have 5 different types of clothing, right?
Yeah.
And if you had 5 different types of clothing and 7 of each option, 1 through 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got 35 cards. That's not so bad, right?
That's not so bad. That's
6 is 42. What's 7? 7 times 8 is 56. 7 times 9 is... That's actually not that bad.
Yeah, it's not.
7 times 9 is 63. That's not bad at all. So I would do that. 7 times 9 is not bad. 63 cards, some dice, which are standard, and then those tiles that are out. That's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, well, there wouldn't be tiles. Those would be cards, too.
Oh, well, then there you go.
Yeah.
So how many cards are there out there?
So there's the 9 cards that you flip over, and then I think every player has, let's call it 4 icon or identifier cards. So you can have 1 always in front of you at all times, 2 in the turn order to start with, and you could theoretically add a 3rd into the turn order.
So they have 4 cards. Each player has 4 cards of their own?
Mm-hmm.
That's 24. So 72 plus 24, that's too many. So you could do 1 through 6, that would drop it down to 42. Mm-hmm. And then, or even 1 through 7. No. Yeah, 1 through, you know, because it's 7 times 6 is 54. So either way, it's doable.
Sure,
it's totally doable.
Yeah, it is.
Then the theme does not feel tacked on, right? Because the theme is you're trying to get the clothes, mm-hmm. and the clothes you're scoring it. Well, I mean,
but so how? What's the theme justification for rolling dice and flipping things over? I don't know what that is. That still feels abstract for me.
So it is depression, right? And you are rich people, and you got to go to this big party, but you can't afford to just go buy the stuff. Mm. So you're working together to try to. Like an auction, right? So you're trying to win stuff at this auction, right? And if that were the case, then I would say instead of making it 10 through 90, I would make it $1 through $9. Just keep it that theme.
Yeah, that depression era. Yeah, right. Yeah,
that actually would be really funny. Like,
yeah, it's not bad.
And you could have cool art for that. So,
yeah.
And the nice thing is, you know, the you don't need a lot of different art. You basically need. Really, you could get away with one style for each clothes and just color it differently, you know, like a white hat, a brown hat, a black hat, which is funny then because now you're wearing like all this random stuff and maybe you're wearing a skirt with a jacket because, hey, that's what I got, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to be able to say though, like a dress and a suit, right? You know, like a full outfit and not just always have to have it piecemeal into, you know, two pieces. But if it doesn't work mechanically, then it doesn't work mechanically and that's fine. Right. It's not the end of the world.
But just a thought. I think that justifies the theme. It fits well with it. And it's fun. It's a clever name. And I think it works well. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Builders love to hear your feedback.
I think it's cool though.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. It's different from something I do. I never do dice games. I never do games with dice, you know. And maybe that idea of I roll once and then move on and the next guy can end the round, maybe that's super boring. I don't know. But I think
But why would they?
Yeah, and my thinking is that as long as you start everybody with a certain number of cards, then they're going to want money in the beginning of the game, right? And they're not going to need to get more cards, especially if you can trade, like you said. They're not going to need to get a lot more cards right away, and that'll be a decision they make. Do they go ahead and get a lot of cards right up front and then go for money the rest of the game, or do they just go ahead and get as much money as they can and then spend it later? Maybe I'll try something with that.
Another thought would be if you didn't want to have 1 through 9, you could call it To the Nines. But it's to the nines. You know what I mean?
So 2 through 9, so 1 through 9? So
there's a thought, too.
That's not bad, actually.
So that would reduce complexity and number of things needed greatly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
So,
and it would mean you'd be more likely to bust at that point. Because having that one there
is a huge option, for not busting.
Actually, I kind of like that.
There you go.
Yeah, kind of like that. Boom. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, all right. There we go. Do we have any Twitter questions or anything?
No.
No? Okay.
So, hey, you know what you should do, though? You should back on real estate. Hey.
You should back on real estate on Kickstarter right now. We need your support. Jason needs your support.
I do.
Jason and the Grand Gamers Guild need your support.
And remember, if you supported Rob's Kickstarter and you don't support mine, you're just a jerk.
Yes, you are. Right.
Oh, see, Rob said it, not me. You are. If you're mad about that, throw Rob's game at his face next time you see him.
Unreal Estate is every bit as fun as Saloon Tycoon in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Could not be more different.
And much cheaper.
And that's true. Yes. I can't argue with that.
So, yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Good night.
I got to do the thing, man. It's not that simple. Jeez.
You said thanks, everybody. To me, that said good night.
No.
Sorry.
Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. Jason is at JASlingerland. I'm at Poorly_Design. You can like us in the places that you like things, and you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com and call our Google Voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. And now I'm done. Thank you.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game. My head is like a short jet.